Today on Real Radio.
Yeah, you know what? There is a wrong type of worship. Because worship is divine, it is beautiful, it's lovely, it's exciting.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his verse-by-verse series through 1 Samuel. You know, of all the common threads we find in Scripture, one that is key is that when we approach the Almighty God Himself, we've got to do it on His terms and only His terms. In the areas of priestly intercession, sacrifice, praying according to His will, and so on, the parameters required are strict, narrow, and of course divinely laid out for us in Scripture. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a lesson taken from one of these explicit passages, 1 Samuel chapter 13. It's a study called The Wrong Type of Worship.
We come to a great chapter of the Bible that we can learn a tremendous amount from. Samuel, as we've been learning, looking at various players in the stories. We look at the life of Samuel, and there's so much about Samuel that we want to be like. He was known in the Bible as the kingmaker. Samuel's the one responsible for the laying on of hands of course, King Saul. And then David is soon to come. Samuel, a great man of God. And we have seen how God has been working in his life. And then Saul comes onto the scene. And Saul is a man that the nation, if you remember, made the request, we want to have a king like all the other nations of the world around us. We don't want to depend upon an invisible God that we can't touch or see. We want to have a king. We want to have an earthly king like all the other countries have. So we can look at our king. And remember what they said, we want a king who can go out and what? Remember, fight our battles. Ooh, not a good thing. Why? Because it's an affront to the very person of God. The Lord has taught us in the Scripture, and the Lord taught them by that time, that He was going to be the one who would fight their battles for them. And so tonight in Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 13, we come to a message entitled, The Wrong Type of Worship. So, is there such a thing? Oh yeah, there is such a thing. Have you ever been to a church, have you ever been to a gathering of people where you could be almost sure that the worship that had taken place was certainly amiss? And in some of the gatherings, you scarcely even call it worship. It was almost like a funeral had happened. And you're wondering, what was that? Where it was so dead. And you feel like just kind of tiptoeing around and whispering, you know, we can yell at the football games or go crazy at the parade or whatever. But when, you know, we come into a church like that, it's almost dangerous. But then the pendulum swings to the other side to where you can go into a church and you got to wonder, is this from God? Where people are running around, bouncing off the walls, swinging from whatever makeshift chandelier or wiring, whatever they could find. And people, you know, speaking in all kinds of tongues and craziness. And you got to wonder, what's going on? Yeah, you know what? There is a wrong type of worship. It's almost an oxymoron to put it together in that wrong worship. But yet, on the human side, we can put it that way. Because worship is divine, it is beautiful, it's lovely, it's exciting. And you might be saying tonight, well, Jack, wait a minute, don't I need worship tonight before we can get into the Bible study? Well, actually, we have become accustomed to worship up front first. But as we'll see tonight, worship has nothing to do with what you and I receive out of it. It is all us giving to God. Worship, in fact, listen. When do Christians gather to worship God during the week? What day? Sunday. Why Sunday? Anybody know? Yeah, it's the first day of the week for the Christian church. Sunday's the first day of the week for the Christian church. Not only was it and is it the first day of the Christian church, but in the Christian world, it's the first day of the week. Did you know Monday's the second day? The first day we give to God. See, when we think about it, what we want to do is be able to come into the Lord's presence, certainly in worship, yes, but our worship must be knowledgeable. We must know why, whom, how we worship. And so we're going to learn a lesson tonight from King Saul and the nation about what true worship ought to be like. The value and place of worship in the Christian church has taken a beating in recent years. We have seen the fact in Scripture in our Sunday morning teachings that the Bible has shown us that we have been saved by God to serve. There's no doubt about it. And serve specifically in the area of fishing for souls. Remember, we are to be fishing for the souls of men. When Jesus called Peter and Andrew, the very first thing that he had said to them as they were mending and preparing their nets was, "Come after me and I'll make you fishers of men." That was their first call. Second, it was to worship God. We have been saved to be fishers of men and worshipers of God. This is the Christian high call. And so tonight we're going to look at three areas of wrong worship that could both derail our love and our expression to God and our ability to go fish for souls. So mark it down in your notes. Number one, verses 1-7. I'll give you all 3 points up front. Verses 1-7 of chapter 13. The wrong type of worship begins with an independent spirit. We're going to see that from King Saul here in a moment. And verses 8-15, we're going to see that the wrong type of worship causes us to use the things of God. To use the things of God. It causes us to use the things of God, and we'll see in what application, how that works out. And then in verses 17-23, we're going to see that the wrong type of worship results in ultimate defeat. The wrong type of worship will actually lead us into the wrong area. Not victory, but defeat. So, verses 1-7, follow along with me. Look at it there as we look. 1 Samuel 13, verse 1, Saul reigned 1 year, and when he had reigned 2 years over Israel, Saul chose for himself 3,000 men of Israel. 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash and in the mountains of Bethel, and 1,000 were with Jonathan there, and the rest of the people he sent away, every man to his tent. Just hold on right there. Jot this down if you would. The wrong type of worship, first of all, begins with an independent spirit. Notice this as we see in Saul's life. Watch. Saul is the king of Israel, but we never see Saul building altars in the Bible. He's not like an Abraham. He's not like anyone else that we see who's following God. Saul has an independent spirit. Church, be careful. Mark it down. Check our own hearts. We don't want to have an independent spirit when it comes to the worship of God. Why? Because it's all to Him, not for us. Number one, we see in verse 2 here that this independent spirit that leads us into wrong worship, we have to watch out within our own selves. Look, it's us. Christian, check it out. When we come in here, Where have our hearts been? Where have we been today? What's gone on in our lives? When we come in here, we have been conditioned to think, well, I'm going to come in and I'm going to sing some songs and I'm going to get good before the Lord. And that's not a bad thought. That's not a bad thing. But listen, God is so good that when we are worshiping Him, He is so quick. I think he's instantaneous in this area. though we are to come in and learn about God and worship Him, we come in and we worship, and we are almost right away touched by Him. And so we're conditioned to think, I'm going to go to worship. I'm going to worship the Lord. I'm going to sing. And we would never admit this, but it's what I can get out of it. Oh man, weren't you touched in worship? Does that happen? Yes, it does happen. But is that our motive for coming to worship? No, it cannot be. We need to come, as it were, with nothing. We present to Him our hearts in raw adoration to God for who He is, not for what He's going to do. Are you with me? Now, I got to admit, this is very mature stuff we're talking about. Because for some people right now, you're thinking, well, what's going on? Well, what's the deal? There's a change. Now, for most of you, I lost 90% of you by just changing the protocol tonight by virtue of the message. There's a change. It freaks people out. But listen, can you, as we've been called upon, witness for God in season and out, says the scripture? Well, wait a minute. Can we worship God in season and out? Can we worship God on the side of a freeway or at church at any time or wherever we may be? Can you worship God on a hijacked airliner? Well, wait a minute, we didn't sing first. You see, now listen, the surrounding, though it's amazing, He's so good, the surroundings can provoke us to worship. I want to suggest to you tonight that is just the graces of God. So, oh man, did you see? Well, not today because it's been so cloudy, but I'm just making this part up. Did you see the sunset? And we, oh yeah, it was a wonderful, oh, I just praise the Lord for the, yeah, that's good. That's a good thing. I'm not putting that down. But what if you and I were locked in a 3x5 prison cell in Siberia? You ain't going to see no sunset. And it's probably going to be cold even in the summer. Can you worship Him then? See what we see here in verse 2. I learned from Saul that I need to watch out for me when it comes to worship. Oh, not watch out for me. Gimme, gimme, gimme. No, watch out for me because I'm the one who can goof it up. Have you ever come into service to worship? And Bruce or Don or someone's leading us in wonderful worship, and you've got this pervert thought in your head? Has that ever happened? A lot of you guys are lying right now, right at me. Where does that come from? You don't even think thoughts like that, and you're going, oh, praise the Lord, and then this thing happens right in your head. What is that thing? You almost see this picture. Ah! Isn't it weird? A peace-loving person. I had somebody confess this to me before. A peace-loving man can come in here and sit down, and this guy wouldn't harm a fly, and he's praising the Lord, and the thought came into his head, I wonder what would happen if somebody would shoot Pastor Jack today. And then he started thinking, my gosh, I can't even be saved and think like that. What's wrong with me? I must be possessed or something. And he's going through this big conniption in his head. What's wrong with me? I had this terrible thought, you know. And when it was said, I had to laugh. He's telling me, and I'm just saying, you know what, man, I remember. Yeah, you know what, that happens to me when I'm teaching and looking at you. I don't think he's getting what I'm teaching. Boom! Where do these thoughts come from? They're like stray, you know, photons going through the universe or something. It's weird. It's the flesh. It's amazing. Saul reigned, it says here, for 2 years, and it says that he had gathered to himself 3,000 men. He chose for himself. Himself. Get that. Listen. For himself. Saul is setting up men. He's having men encircle him. He's starting to build the kingdom, and he's not putting God first. He's putting himself first. And he starts to build his kingship. So what I learned from verse 2 is that the wrong type of worship begins with an independent spirit. Saul was never dependent upon God. He was always manipulating. He was always, listen, surrounding himself with people that would make who look good? Saul. That is a very dangerous thing, because if I have an independent spirit like that, I better be, as Paul tells us, we ought to examine ourselves to determine whether we are in the faith or not. To start thinking deep thoughts. Is it that I've trafficked in and out of Christian church all my life, or am I truly a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? And if you're truly a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, sometimes it gets bloody. Sometimes it gets difficult. Oh, not with your neighbor, not with your friend. When you take a look inside. Saul has a hard time doing that. In fact, I don't think Saul does that at all. When the Bible says here that the Philistines, as we'll see in a moment, will begin to gather against Israel, note it in your Bible as we go through Samuel. Always mark Philistines, highlight it, and put next to it the flesh. The flesh. Boy, I love adding this all the time because it's a fact. Don't ever call the land of Israel Palestine. It's wrong. It's the land of Israel, God says. It's not the land of Palestine. Palestine comes from the root word Philistia. Philistia is the land of the what? Philistines. Those that are fighting against Israel and say they're Palestinians, honestly, they may not know it or not, but they're claiming, we are Philistines. We are Philistines. It's a work of the flesh that does not, cannot, will not believe in the promises of God. Honestly, listen, do you know who was in Israel before Israel got to Israel? Pagan nations. Many people say, well, we were here first. You're right. You were there first. But guess what? If you believe in God, the land has to belong to Israel, because God's the one who promised it to Abraham. That's why the battle will never be settled. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you here and now, I can solve all your political problems concerning the Middle East. It won't be solved. Because Israel is of the promise of God, and Philistia is of the flesh. The flesh always comes before the spirits. You were born once, remember, from your mama, and then you were born again from your heavenly Abba. Saul chose for himself 3,000 men. There's an independent spirit that can destroy us when it comes to worship. True worship, listen, true worship comes from a dependence upon God. There are people who have come to realize that their day was so bad that they've had such a difficult month or a rotten year or whatever it is that they've got to go worship. The sooner you and I learn that, the better off we're going to be. The more powerful your life will become. Listen, you will have joy, strength, and power when you begin to realize and practice that. Man, have I had a rotten day. I'm staying home. It's cold. I'm going to light a fire. I'm going to get a book. I'm going to sit. Doesn't that sound nice? My flesh is going, yeah, Jack, let's go. Let's just go home now, right to that. The flesh loves that. There's people sitting home right now. They're thinking, you know, oh, I'm so glad I stayed home. But wait a minute. But wait. David, when his son died, he was weeping for that child. His son dies. What does David do? Does he start a fire in his fireplace, grab an old book, and sit down? Man, it's been a rough day, and my son died today. I'm just going to check out, and I'm going to get a book and cuddle up here next to the fire, and I'm going to veg out. You know what? Sounds good. Be careful, Christian. The flesh goes, Be careful. There is no spiritual, long-lasting fruit to that. You will get a momentary comfort. Example, same type. Example. Marriages may go up and down, more down than up. Difficult marriage, hard marriage, at each other's throat. And then there's that little thought that comes from, let's just take a break. Okay, truce. Let's go away for the weekend. And for the first 30 hours, everything's pretty cool. It's a facade. It's fake. oh, look, we're in Palm Springs. Oh, it's wonderful. And let's just get along. And you're in a different surrounding. You're in a hotel. The kids are not there. It's all artificial. It sounds nice. It looks good. It even feels good. But right when you get back home, what do you get back home to? The disaster that was there when you left. It may not be a plugged up toilet or an overflowing sink. It's of the Spirit. When we go to worship the Lord, it changes everything. There are people not here tonight that should be here tonight because they've had a very bad day today. And they're thinking, you know, it's been such a bad day, I'm not going to go worship God. That's what they're saying. They would never admit that. But in reality, that's exactly what's happening. We need to watch out for ourselves. In this world, there's an independence from God. You know what it's called? It's called slavery. A world independent from God is a world of slavery to sin. But a world that where there's dependence upon God, there is what? Freedom. Isn't that an amazing thing? You say, Jack, that doesn't really work. You mean independence creates freedom? No, it doesn't. Dependence upon God equals freedom. Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. But were you ever hooked on drugs? Were you ever hooked on pornography? Were you ever hooked on alcohol? You were independent to decide and to choose doing any of that and all of that. Don't tell me what to do. I'm my own man. And look at you. See, man can't handle independence. Is it Bill Cosby that has that record? That was the last time I heard it. It was an actual record. As a little kid, I remember cracking up back then when he was talking about we adults don't do very well. He says we work hard all week, then the weekend comes. He says adults go out, and he was making fun of them. You could tell by his presentation that he was not part of that crowd. He says adults, they work hard all week, then they go out on Friday, get drunker than a skunk, and then wind up coming home, hugging the toilet all weekend long, throwing up, and they go through that process just so they can get back to work on Monday and be safe for 5 days.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called The Wrong Type of Worship. It's a look at 1 Samuel chapter 13, and we'll continue with more of this fascinating verse-by-verse journey through this Old Testament book on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now get ready to take down our contact information, which we'll have for you in just a minute, but first...
He who blesses Israel is blessed of God.
Beginning in Genesis 12 and throughout Scripture, believers are commanded to be a comfort to God's people.
We are grateful for this evening and the people that you've brought to us all to stand for the defense of Israel.
Introducing the DVD, Americans for the Defense of Israel, A Night of Solidarity.
We stand together here in America, a nation very unique, like Israel, established by God.
Americans for the Defense of Israel, A Night of Solidarity. Features Pastor Jack and guest speakers like radio talk show host Dennis Prager.
The ignorance of the Bible is so staggering and so frightening.
Congressman Gary Miller.
In order to understand Israel, you have to broaden perspective beyond just being a student of the Bible. It's important to learn the lessons of history.
Yaki Lopez.
We are hopeful that this one, which followed 11 other ceasefires that were broken by Hamas, we are hopeful that this one will last because we're a peace-loving nation. We seek peace, and we love peace, and we want peace.
For your gift of any amount to the outreach of Real Radio, you'll get the DVD, Americans for the Defense of Israel, A Night of Solidarity. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, and click the button on the right there that says Special Offer. Or call us, our phone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Ask for the DVD by name, Americans for the Defense of Israel, A Night of Solidarity. That's at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.